All right, welcome back. I didn't mean to play that whole part of that song. but then I forgot to pause it after the first part. So, guys, we have this thing where we try to open up to the listening audience, sort of listener input to the show. And I think a couple of episodes back, Melanie, you suggested that people could call in or write in and tell us their embarrassing stories.
Mm-hmm.
Or just talk about something embarrassing that maybe happened to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, even though we claimed or we told everybody that we would anonymize their names so that nobody would know, you know, that it was them who had this embarrassing thing happening to them, nobody has written in.
Right.
But I still think that that was a good idea for the show. And so I want to have a segment where we talk about embarrassing things that happen to people.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Yahoo Answers. and I just typed in embarrassed in the search. So this first one, this first Yahoo answer question seems pretty easy. These are all questions, so we could maybe also just give some advice to some of these questions. But so this first one comes in from Tim, who asks, "How do you dance without being totally embarrassed?" So I've never been to a school dance because I'm just deathly afraid of dancing. I feel so awkward and embarrassed just thinking about it. How do you dance without being totally embarrassed? So, Tim, I think you came to the right place. Well, you came to Yahoo Answers, but then now you're on a podcast as well.
The right place found you.
Right. You've been incorporated into the right place. So, I also am awkward and embarrassed thinking about dancing. But I feel like if you have the right mindset, and that mindset is that everybody who's dancing is worried about how stupid they look, that maybe you'll have a little bit of luck with that. So just don't focus on yourself, but rather focus on everybody else, and just you know, send your embarrassing thoughts their way and just make everybody around you feel really embarrassed.
Right.
Does that make sense? You think that's good advice?
Well, I was going to say, well, it sounds like he's probably in high school, though. Right?
Yeah, he says, I've never been to a school dance. So, okay. Maybe?
Okay, well, my suggestion wouldn't be appropriate then, but I was going to say it might help if you drank a little because you'll probably look just as stupid, but you won't feel as stupid.
Well, okay, well, let's assume that he's of legal drinking age.
Mm-hmm.
And so his embarrassment is less about the dancing, but more about going to a school dance like in his 30s. And he's not so much embarrassed about the dancing as dancing in front of a bunch of kids.
Maybe
Tim,
he shouldn't be dancing.
Yeah,
in
Tim.
Front of kids.
Tim, my suggestion is don't become like in your mid-30s, and then go back to school because you've never been to a dance before, and try to live out that fantasy. That's totally creepy. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my advice.
Yeah, you should be embarrassed about that.
It's like, how do I not be embarrassed about luring children into my van with candy?
People give me the weirdest looks. I hate it.
How can I be more confident about what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're not a 35-year-old. Maybe you are in high school, or maybe this guy's in middle school. Do you remember going to dances while you were in middle school?
Yeah.
That was awkward.
But the thing with those is guys didn't dance at those. See, the problem here is that he's never been to a school dance, so he doesn't know that the boys don't dance in junior high dances.
Right.
They, like, laugh with their friends and play tag and stand against the wall.
Right, yeah. Because at that time, it's weird to, like, dance with a girl.
Well, they're also shorter than most of the girls then, too, so...
But that's why it's weird.
It's part of why it's weird.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons that it's weird.
I mean, for me, there wasn't a huge difference between between middle school dances and high school dances, because I don't dance. I have danced before, and I have danced totally sober before, because I didn't start drinking until I got into college.
Right.
And it was always really awkward to get started, but once you get started, it's fine.
Right.
And nobody's going to look at you to see if you're messing up. So that advice that I gave you to look at other people and see if they're messing up, don't do that, because it's self-defeating, right? If everybody was doing that, nobody would dance.
Right.
And everybody knows that you have to dance. It's part of like human evolution. Dancing. It's like a weird, I mean, if you think about it, it's like somebody took whatever our normal mating ritual was and turned it into, like moving your body around to rhythmic music.
Right.
So think about that while you're in middle school, about how all you're doing is like an elaborate mating dance.
And then try to explain that to the girls that you want to dance with also.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, I think we did a pretty good job of answering that question. So let's move on to the next one. Let's see here. Actually, can you guys talk for a minute? I need to find this.
Sure. Josh, did you go to high school dances?
I didn't really go to high school dances. I went to junior high dances because I was on student council and we had to go.
Oh.
Because that's what student council did in junior high.
Put on dances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of mostly what they did in high school too when I was in student council.
Okay, I found it. But yeah, before we get off the topic of dances, I've only been to maybe three dances in high school. Maybe two dances. So the first one I went to in high school was the Sadie Hawkins dance that I went to at Bryan High with Amy. Do you remember Amy's last name?
Amy Allen.
Wow, I feel bad that I forgot her last name. Somehow we ended up dating. We ended up going out. And I don't remember how it happened because I never asked her and she never asked me. I think it was a situation where like friends asked each other if we wanted to go out and then we said yes. And then I don't think I ever talked to her very much. and then I feel really bad about this. She she went kind of all out on the, you know how in Sadie Hawkins you do like a corsage thing?
Yeah.
Is it a corsage? Basically it's a mum. Yeah. So it was this giant thing that was like covered with like candy and like those little popper things that you have for like New Year's.
Streamers.
Yeah. And it was like it was really awesome. But at that time in my life, I was not like boyfriend material. in that I had no idea really how to talk to girls or to like reciprocate nice things to people. but somehow we ended up going to this dance at Bryan High, and I don't really remember anything about it. Just that I think we probably danced together. That thing where you don't know how to dance and so you just kind of sway back and forth with like your hands on each other's hips or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
that was what we did.
Sure.
And then the other dance I remember was senior prom. But I don't think
so
I
that's
went.
Two.
Yeah, so maybe there were only two. so I don't know. Amy, if you're listening, I'm sorry. that you dated me at that time, because I was pretty much like the worst boyfriend possible. Not the worst boyfriend possible. I didn't like beat her up or anything.
Well, I just 14. Mostly,
yeah. Well, still, I basically mostly ignored her because I didn't know what to do with a girl.
Whoa.
So yeah. Okay, so let's move on from the dancing question. Here's one from Jen A, and she says,
"Jen A, sorry."
That's racist. That's not
Is
really
that racist.
Okay, so here's the question. Can my boyfriend wear pantyhose without being embarrassed? My boyfriend likes to wear pantyhose under his pants. They keep him warm on cold days, and he likes the feeling. Can he wear it without being embarrassed? What color should he wear under his jeans?
Wait, shouldn't she just ask her boyfriend if he's embarrassed when he wears pantyhose?
It sounds like he's not embarrassed because he's doing it, so.
Yeah.
I think what she's asking is, can I not be embarrassed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of reasons for guys to wear pantyhose.
You've worn them.
Yeah, I've worn them. I'm not ashamed to say that. And really, I mean, I can explain why I wore them, but really, you could wear them for any reason. You could wear them because they're fashionable. You could wear them because you like the way they feel. You could wear them because you shaved your legs and you need extra drag while you're practicing swimming.
Yeah.
So those are at least three reasons. Now, obviously, I mean, society has made a lot of strides, recently about, sort of cross-dressing or, you know, alternative lifestyles, basically anything that's not like the norm that like normal mm-hmm. guys do. And there's still like a little bit of a stigma with that, but yeah, if he's fine with it and you're fine with it, Jen A, then there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Right. And as for the color, I don't think it matters if he's just wearing him under his jeans.
Right. I mean, maybe this question is more about, you know, like how they say you should always wear clean underwear because you might get in an accident and then have to go to the hospital.
Right,
and then they
yeah.
pull down your pants and they look at your underwear and they're like, oh my God, you're wearing dirty underwear. So maybe it's that kind of thing. Like, who would wear sheer pantyhose under jeans? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing? Is sheer a color of pantyhose?
Sure. Well, maybe he should just get some jeggings.
Well, I feel like a lot of it has to do with him being cold.
Yeah.
So maybe he wants the layering.
Yeah, but pantyhose...
Or maybe he doesn't like the way that the blue jeans feel against his legs, and he wants something between them.
Right. Well, if I were him, I would probably just wear black pantyhose.
Why is that?
Because it wouldn't look like the nude ones and the sheer like colored ones. They look more like regular pantyhose. I mean, I guess if he doesn't want people to know he's wearing them, like if his pant legs ride up or something around his ankles, and he's not wearing socks or something, then maybe nude colored ones would like not be noticeable. But I would wear black ones.
I would say wear white ones, because then you wouldn't have to wear socks. And they would match with your blue jeans.
I mean, does he wear underwear, too? Because maybe he doesn't wear underwear. Maybe he likes the feel of, like, pantyhose all down his legs and butt.
And man parts.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Is where you're going
well,
with
yeah.
this.
Although maybe, I don't think it would be very comfortable for a dude.
Well, I don't want to ask you why you don't think pantyhose against man parts would be comfortable, but where are you coming from with this question? Why? I don't want to know the answer, but I have to know the answer.
Well, I mean, maybe he just like, maybe they're so light and thin maybe he doesn't like to wear underwear, and he doesn't like that the jeans would otherwise be, like, touching him, so he wears the pantyhose.
Why? Okay, so do you think he doesn't like wearing underwear because it's, like, too constrictive?
Or maybe
what are the
it's,
reasons?
Like, too thick.
Oh. Well, I mean, I feel like he could he could find some underwear that's not, like, thick underwear.
Yeah. But, I mean, pantyhose are, like, incredibly thin.
That's true.
Maybe he's a never nude.
Maybe.
Or he always has to be wearing something. Except this is, like, it sort of extends to, like, his entire legs. Like, I wonder if he also wears, like, long underwear, like, on his arms. And he wears, like, a hoodie and, like, a Jason mask. And he murders people. And then maybe he's really practicing for when he, like, makes a people skin out of his victims.
Ew.
Right, yeah. He should be embarrassed about that.
Yeah, I think so, too. Can I just mention that when I had to buy pantyhose, that it was, like, a pretty embarrassing thing. Because, like, in middle school and high school, you don't really want to stand out from the crowd. I mean, it helped a lot that there were other guys on the swim team that had to wear the pantyhose too. But at the time, that was really embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
Although not super embarrassing.
At least you had a good reason that wasn't embarrassing at all.
Yeah, I had a reason that was more accepted by that age group of kids, other than being gay or a crossdresser or something that is not as accepted.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you guys think we answered this question good enough? So
yeah,
don't be embarrassed to wear pantyhose, but do be embarrassed if you are a serial killer with a Jason mask. I think everyone can agree on that. Okay. Uh-huh. So here's the last Yahoo Answers question, and this is kind of a long one, and it talks a little bit about something that we talked about last week, so bear with me while I read through this. Okay, so the subject line, actually, before I get started, this is from somebody named Free Vineyards, and his question is, really weird dream with a bleeding tree, what does it mean? And he goes on to say, I've been trying to figure out what this dream means, and it has been driving me crazy. In real life, I flew halfway across the country to visit a college I was skeptical about even getting into. I felt a lot of anxiety and shame for putting a lot of effort into visiting the school, but not enough effort into getting into college. I feel like this might have something to do with the dream. So right off the bat, he feels a little bit of shame for visiting this college, even though he doesn't think he's put in enough effort to actually go to college. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then he says, in the dream, I'm talking to some girl I don't even know, and I'm looking for something. I don't know what it is. All I know is that I'm looking for something. I notice a tree behind her, and I realize that the thing must be in the tree. As I walk over towards the tree, I have a feeling of deja vu. I knew exactly what to do, as though I've done it before. And then in parentheses, he says, I can't think of anything in my waking life that is that is at all similar to what happens, though. He says, I feel the tree, and in the middle of the bark, there is a soft, fleshy part with a zit on it. I pop the zit, and the tree starts bleeding extremely heavily. It's just a tree, so it doesn't hurt or anything. I don't feel any rush of panic due to the blood. At this point, I notice that there is a crowd of strangers watching me and the tree. I make the tree's wound bigger, reach inside, and pull out a book and a DVD. I know that this story is pretty crazy so far, but it gets even crazier. The book is Bartleby the Scrivener.
What?
A story about a depressed law copyist who gets depressed and apathetically refuses to do any work. And the DVD case is a movie adaptation of the book.
What a boring movie.
What's weird is the cover. It shows a silhouette raising his arms in triumph with a sunrise behind him, not fitting into the plot of the book at all. The DVD case is the same as the book cover. Then he says, in parentheses, the sunrise might have been an explosion. I can't remember. I hold the book and the DVD up to the crowd of people, and they applaud me. What the hell? Interpreting dreams is a hobby of mine, but I can't figure this one out. Okay, so that's the end of the question.
Okay, hold on. So, I think I lost you for a couple seconds after you said he felt the tree.
Uh-huh.
And then before there was a crowd watching him and he made the wound bigger. I missed something in there.
Oh, okay. You must have missed the part where it says, period. I made the tree's wound bigger. He says, at this point, I notice that there is a crowd of strangers watching me and the tree. I make the tree's wound bigger. So you must have missed the period after tree and before I make the tree's wound bigger. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, wait, did he mention a wound before?
He says, okay, so in the paragraph right before this, he says, I feel the tree, and in the middle of the bark, there is a soft, fleshy part with a zit on it.
With a zit?
A zit. Like a pimple?
Oh. Oh, okay.
You know, like a tree zit?
So, sure.
So then he says, I pop the zit, and the tree starts bleeding extremely heavily.
Ew.
Oh, so you missed that part.
Yeah, I missed that part.
Were you just, like, tuning that part out?
No, you cut out for, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah, and I think didn't hear I missed anything that part, to too.
And then, and then all I heard was, I make the tree's wound bigger. And I was like, when did the tree get a wound?
Okay, so long story short, the tree has a zit on it. He pops it. Uh-huh. Then it starts bleeding out of the zit hole. And then he notices a crowd of strangers watching him and the tree. Then he makes the tree's wound bigger, and then he reaches inside and pulls out a book of Bartleby the Scrivener.
Okay. All right. I'm all caught up now. That's disgusting.
So, what do you guys think that dream means? First of all, do you think this guy listened to last week's episode where we talked about Bartleby?
I doubt it.
Well, I mean, it says that this question was asked 9 months ago. But it's possible. Maybe he went to the future.
Maybe.
And listened to our podcast and then went back in time and then had a dream and then didn't mention the podcast at all.
How far away is the school he said that he was ashamed that he hadn't put in enough effort to get into?
He said it was about as far away as the tree wound was wide.
No, was it in another country, or was
he says he flew halfway across the country. All right, sorry about that, folks. We were experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're back, and we were talking about this weird bleeding tree dream that this guy had, Melanie. And I think your question was how far away the college was.
Yeah.
And he mentioned it was halfway across the country.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which country?
good question. He doesn't actually say where he lives. But I'm gonna assume it's the U.S.
Okay. Well, for some reason I was thinking that he was going to another country. I guess I just heard country. And I thought, why would you, like, travel to another country to visit a school you probably won't get into? But that answers that question, so.
Right. So, I don't know. Do you guys have any interpretations for what this dream could mean?
Well, it sounds like what he's worried about is being underprepared for college. and I think that the dream is telling him that the solution to that is Bartleby the Scrivener.
Right. That's like the thing that he's going to get stuck doing.
Yeah. But it's not going to be easy for him to do it because he's going to have to pop a tree zit and then dig into that wound.
So there is a little bit of like a triumph aspect to this.
Yeah.
Where he pulls the book and the DVD out of the tree and then holds them up. And then the crowd applauds him.
Right.
Yeah, and on the book cover, the silhouette is like holding up its arms in triumph, right?
Right.
Right, yeah.
So he, like, so did the same thing.
Right. He's doing whatever the person on the book cover is doing.
Right. Which is, like, if he is supposed to be the person on the book cover, which is Bartleby, then it's like, yay, you're celebrating a life of apathy and not wanting to do your job. Like...
Or maybe it means that he did not understand the short story at all.
Maybe. He does say that the cover is weird because it shows the silhouette raising his arms in triumph with the sunrise behind him. And then he says that doesn't fit in with the plot of the book at all.
Right.
Unless the sunrise is, in fact, an explosion.
Well, maybe. Right. Okay. Maybe, because he said that he didn't feel like he was well prepared to go to college.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in his dream, maybe his mind is telling him, well, look at Bartleby. He worked every day and hated his life and never got anything from it. And you didn't do anything. You didn't slave away and work hard. And you can still be triumphant.
But you're probably not going to get into the school.
Maybe. Or maybe the treesit and him, like, digging into it and stuff is just a representation of his shame.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's disgusting.
And in his shame is disgusting.
Well,
it's the thing, the shameful stuff that he's hiding is disgusting, or it's disgusting to get to it, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to pop a zit, and then you have to open the wound bigger, and then there's people watching you.
Right.
And then for whatever reason, you also have you have a book that's sort of. It seems like maybe that book isn't something that you should make high school seniors read. other than maybe as a motivational factor of, like, don't be this guy.
Yeah. Well, isn't, like, popping a zit or, like, an abscess or whatever, I mean, that's about, like, cleansing. So maybe, like, maybe his mind is telling him, like, yeah, you haven't really worked that hard. And, maybe he's been, like, afraid of, like, how he's not going to get into a college because of that and, like, and whatever else. But he just needs to face it. And so if he faces it, then he's, like, popping the zit. And then he can get good resources after he does that. So it's, like, cleansing.
Yeah, like, maybe he's, like, maybe this dream is trying to tell him to, like, turn over a new leaf.
Right. And, like, just, like, own up to, like, your actions and then move on.
Right, like, don't be apathetic anymore, otherwise good things won't happen to you. Right. You need to reach into that, you need to reach into that giant tree blood zit and pull out your apathy.
That's so gross.
Okay, can I tell you guys something about how I found this weird Yahoo Answers dream?
Sure.
I searched on Yahoo Answers for shame. No, sorry. Let me back up. I searched for Bartleby shame. And somehow it found this this answer.
That's pretty great.
Yep. I searched for Bartleby embarrassed, and nothing came up.
Well, that's surprising.
One of the answers for this question says, I have a book of dreams. It's of Islam. I dreamed I'm dying and someone cutting me. That means meaning of my death, and a bleeding tree means that you're going to be good guy helping. And if it has fruits, it means that your kids, and then it has an emoticon.
What?
Also, this person spelled fruits FROOTS.
Like Fruit Loops.
Is that how they spell fruit in Fruit Loops?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty fantastic. Have you guys ever like gotten some lemon juice on your fingers and then eaten like a cracker?
No. Never.
It tastes like Fruit Loops.
Really?
Or it always reminds me of eating Fruit Loops. Huh. Which is really weird.
Fruit Loops does have a very strong scent, and lots of things in my, not everyday life, but like occasionally, I get that scent of Fruit Loops.
Right. It's probably when you, it's probably when you have lemon juice on your hand and you're eating a cracker. you just hadn't realized it till now, until I blew your mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You just thought you were eating Fruit Loops the whole time.
Right. You know what's gross about Fruit Loops? I mean, I guess they put so much sugar in it that it's fine, but could you imagine eating something, like eating like a real lemon slice in a bowl of milk? Or like a grape in a bowl of milk?
Right. Well, you know, I don't like milk in my cereal, so no.
Yeah, but that's a particular weirdness for you.
Yeah, I would say that that's most people like milk in their cereal.
Some people put orange juice in their cereal or apple
that's
juice.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
I know. Well, which one is it though? Or do people do both?
I've never heard of either. If I were to guess, I would say apple juice because most cereal is sweet and sweet stuff doesn't go well with orange juice.
That's true. Yeah. Or like people who eat like Apple Jacks, they might put apple juice in their Apple Jacks.
That's like apple overload.
I think that's something people do. I bet you somebody listening here has seen someone do that, or they've done it themselves.
I've heard of like pouring beer into your cereal.
Gross.
You know, like if you're in college and you're like binge drinking every day.
And you need it in your cereal, too.
Uh-huh. I hear that, you know how, like, when you have a hangover, you're supposed to, like, drink whatever you drank the night before?
Does that actually work?
I have no idea. Because when I have a hangover, the last thing I want to do is drink more of what I had last night.
Right.
What it does is gives you a little bit of a buzz, and so you don't feel as bad about how bad you feel.
So it doesn't, really help.
We actually talked about this the other day, that the hair of the dog. And Melanie was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, wait, is that phrase is about becoming a werewolf, right?
Yeah. I think that's the origin of it, yeah.
Wait, no, I'm being somewhat serious here. What is the etymology of that phrase?
I don't actually know.
Like, because, I mean, just like having some hair from the dog that bit you doesn't help you in any way, unless you're mixing that into a potion to cure, werewolfism. What do they call that? It's not werewolfism. It's like,
lycanthropy.
Lycanthropy.
Is that right?
Is that a real thing? What is that?
Yeah, lycanthropy is a real thing. You know, like, how sometimes, like, on a full moon, a dog will bite you, and then, like, the next full moon, you turn into a dog? You're familiar with that process, and like in real life, how you prevent yourself from becoming a werewolf is on the next full moon you have to get hair. It actually doesn't have to be from the werewolf that bit you; it could be from any dog. But you have to get that hair, and then you just eat the hair, just like a handful of hair, and that'll clear it up. I do this every full moon, just in case.
Oh, this is weird.
Okay, well, that's enough of this segment. The Yahoo answers for embarrassing questions embarrassing questions segment. If you guys have an embarrassing question or an embarrassing story, you can call us. The number is 914-40-SHAME.
Yeah.
We have a website too. It's shamechronicles.com. Maybe I'll make some changes to the website to like where people can submit their own story. At some point I will do that because I think that's a good idea. Even if no one will ever write in. but you can also send us an email to shamechronicles@gmail.com. But let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Taekwondo and the Shame Chronicles. We'll be right back.